Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Good to be with you. Thank you for hanging around with us. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If it sounds different today, if the show sounds different, there's a reason for that. It is different. I'm not in my home environs. I'm not in my home studio. I am in Washington, D.C., broadcasting from high atop all six floors of Georgetown Inn in Georgetown, which is hard by, as you know, to our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., and I'm up here doing a couple of days of work. So if it sounds different, that's the reason I'm on the road. Sam Norwood is our guest. Sam's an old friend of ours. He's with the Tatum Partners, organization of professionals that we'll tell you about a little bit later on. But the main thing is that I want you to know, besides knowing that Sam is a really cool guy, but he brings us a report from his professionals, several hundred that they poll every month, about what's going on out there where the rubber meets the road, where you and I are. These are guys who hire and fire and buy and sell and capitalize and worry about cash flow and all that sort of thing, and just like you and me. And so he polls these guys every month and to find out what's going on, and they tell him. And then he reports it back to his clients and to the world and to us, and we're glad he does that. He's our good friend Sam Norwood. Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. It's a pleasure to be back with you.
It's good to have you back, Sam, as always. But we've got a little bit of a different situation with Sam, too, folks, because Sam lives in Atlanta. And Sam, you had a visitor this week, didn't you? Someone actually just showed up kind of overnight, didn't they? Didn't she?
Hurricane Frances is not through yet. She's still wreaking havoc over here in Georgia. And this morning at about 1 o'clock, the electricity went off in our area of town in Atlanta and came back on briefly at around 4 and then went back out again. And it's widespread in Georgia and in the Atlanta metro area. I understand 300,000 homes are without electricity. And I hear on the radio this morning that it's about 500,000 around the state of Georgia are without electricity. And it's interesting, I think the Georgia crews went south to help out in Florida and are down there helping repair the damage to electricity lines down there. And as this has come up, the ground is wet, the wind is blowing 35 to 45, puffs up to 50 and thereabout in the Atlanta and North Georgia area. And as a result, mature trees that were maybe ready to go anyway have been falling down on the power lines, and it's a real mess here in the metro Atlanta area.
Well, and you know, Sam, this storm, even though, thank God, it weakened and went from a Category 4 to I think, a Category 2 before it made landfall, even though it didn't exactly blow everything away in its path, the water and the wind and the size of it disrupted whatever it didn't damage, it disrupted, didn't it? And so this is going to be, wouldn't you agree that a hurricane this size, the size of it, the state of Texas, is going to impact economic numbers, national economic numbers over the next month or so?
Well, it certainly will, and it's large, and it's moving so slowly. That makes a difference, too, and much more rain is coming down out of this and really soaking the ground. We have flood warnings here in Georgia, and I think those are going to be posted also in Tennessee later today. And as this storm moves north and to the east, the whole eastern seaboard will be getting the effects of this.
Yeah.
So it'll have a major effect, both on the economy and disruptions. Many of the schools in Georgia are closed today because of this. Businesses are closed, and as a result, people are out of work, and it's not a good situation.
Well, look at the toll this is taking on the Florida economy. I mean, small business owners, for one thing, they have to worry about their business being blown away or flooded. Then they have to worry about the power being out, not being able to serve their customers. You know, maybe they got backup power, maybe they don't. And then, but then worse than that, when the customers leave and take their cash with them, that's even worse, isn't it?
Well, yes, the businesses are shut down. Here was a big weekend, Labor Day weekend, and so tourism in Florida is a major, major industry.
Yep.
And another major industry in Florida is the citrus industry.
Yeah.
And the hurricane affected a major part of the grapefruit growing area, and the citrus industry is hurt as well.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens with the peanut crop in Georgia.
Yeah.
And this will affect agricultural efforts as well as the normal
for months
things
to come, all the way into next year. Sam, stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. 22. We're going to get into the Tatum survey right after these messages.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, and don't forget all the other things you can do there at my website, jbsba.com. It's all free, thanks to my organization and our great sponsors. It's all free for you. Hope you enjoy it, and if you're a small business owner, I'm sure you will. If you think you want to be a small business owner, I know you will. Sam Norwood is our guest. He's with Tatum Partners, and as I said earlier, they conduct a survey of their professionals, several hundred professionals around the country every month. And Sam, for years, literally years, when the business community, when capital spending was off in almost in a depression, the U.S. consumer held the U.S. economy and in some ways largely the world economy up. But they've taken a break, haven't they?
Well, they're taking a break, and actually in recent months the capital spending has been picking up. And businesses' capacity to ship has been rising sharply. And as a result of that, backlogs are declining. And there's some pressure right now on pricing because of the ability to ship and catch back up with orders. We feel like there's more downward pressure on pricing. And our survey indicates also that we may be at an inflection point in terms of softening back in the economy.
Hmm. Tell us what that means.
Well, normally economists, which we are not, we're chief financial officers and chief information officers, but economists are usually pretty good, and most people will say, well, here's my immediate past experience, I'll just project that into the future. And that's not very useful to anybody. What would be useful to us all if we were able to take our immediate past experience and say that the immediate future is going to be different from our immediate past. And we think we have that in this month's survey of our people. We saw some strength in August compared to July in terms of employment, in terms of capital expenditure commitments, in terms of backlogs, but we saw that turn in terms of our outlook for the next 60 days. And that's what I mean by an inflection. Up in our recent experience, but expecting a downward outlook. And that's very unusual in our experience of surveying our partners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the outlook is positive, but not as positive as it had been.
Exactly. And the outlook is in contrast to a relatively not so bad recent past. That's what's so interesting in this month's survey results. You know, we survey over 300 partners across the country in many industries, different sizes of businesses, many of them small, medium-sized, and we find that August wasn't so bad, wasn't great, but it wasn't so bad. But the September and October outlook in a wide in number of our respondents indicate that September, October is not going to be as good as August was.
Well, in terms of the last 30 days, you guys reported that that things improved for 48% of respondents, which is not quite, just short of half, which was a decrease down from 51% in the previous month. Things got worse for 11% of your respondents, which was an increase. So that's where that 2% went from improved to worse. And the stay about the same folks were just about the same as they were before. So apparently, a couple of your folks who, a couple of percentages of your folks who had been doing well before, things got worse for them. And that was for the last 30 days.
Yes, in the last 30 days, it's a gradual weakening. But if we look at the outlook for the next 60 days, we look back 30 days and forward 60 days. So it's very current. We're trying to get the pulse of what's going on right now. The change, looking back 30 days, was relatively small and mild. But looking forward 60 days, the change from last month's survey is significantly more dramatic. And
how much of this response do you think is influenced by rising fuel prices and by concern over the election? Those two factors.
Well, I think the rising fuel prices influence the outlook for inflation, which influences the outlook for interest rates. And interest rates have been rising. And one of our indicators is the availability and pricing of capital. And although it's still pretty cheap, it has been rising. And in our survey indicates that the outlook for the next 60 days is, and the actual experience for the last 30 days, is a distinct worsening in the availability and pricing of capital. Mm-hmm. Now, whether that keeps consumers from going out and buying, I'm not so sure. And the same thing about elections. For us as business people, uncertainty about the elections, which has to do with uncertainty about the outlook for taxes and many things, creates some tentativeness. And so our investment plans may be cut back or put on hold till we see greater clarity. But I'm not sure that the election uncertainties would hold a consumer back from going out and buying what they need.
Well, it would seem to me that some of your folks out there running these businesses, helping run these businesses, their fuel prices are going up. They got fleets on the road. The fuel prices are much higher than they budgeted, a year ago when they were working on 2004 budget. And they don't know when they're going to be able to raise their own prices to offset that. So I would think that would make some of us a little bit dour.
May not be able to pass them through.
Stand by, Stan. We're going to take a quick break, folks.
All right.
Intel, stay with us. We're back at 7 Hill. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and let me remind you, Zoltan Acha is going to be with us in the next hour. He's a great guy, and you'll enjoy hearing what he has to say about how entrepreneurs are doing around the world. And then Gerald Celente is going to join us. He's one of the world's top trend trackers, and he's going to tell us about, he's going to look into the future a little bit, especially with regard to the presidential election. I think he's got some ideas about that. So that's coming up in the next hour. We're visiting with Sam Norwood. Sam's with Tatum Partners, and Sam, give us a little thumbnail on how Tatum works.
Yes, Tatum is an outsource for chief financial officers and chief information officers, so that small and medium-sized companies primarily, but some large as well, would engage our partners to fulfill the role of chief financial officer or chief information officer, and they still remain partners with our partnership, but serve just like any other employee. And then about a quarter of our partners, including myself, do financial projects or projects related to financial issues and information issues within corporations as an extension of the chief financial officer or chief information officer's role there.
And these are
we
people,
do project
folks.
Work, and we do we fulfill these functions, and we do it in 30 markets across the country, and with about 300 and almost 400 partners.
Basically, these are CFOs and CIOs you can rent, folks, and it's a great concept. And that's give us the website, Sam.
Yes, the website is TatumPartners.com. And that's where we invite people to go to check out our survey. We post the results of our survey. They'll be posted later today. In view of the weather, it may be in the afternoon each month. If your listeners go right now, they would see the August 1st survey. But the September 1st survey will be posted later today. And they can go to that website, TatumPartners.com, and see the full report on our survey.
What about, let's look into the future, Sam. Let's look into the next 60 days. What are your folks telling you?
Well, our folks are saying that the next 60 days will be less strong than the last most recent 60 days, or looking back actually over the last 6 months or so. They're saying that for a number of reasons. First, and here are the symptoms. They're saying employment, their hiring plans are being downgraded. They're saying backlogs are getting thinner. They're saying that the pricing and availability of capital is getting worse. They're saying capital expenditure commitments are declining. And this is all in contrast to a not-so-bad August. So they're saying that they're looking for weakness. They're not looking for recession, but they're looking for a very weak business conditions in the next 60 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course, 60 days, I wonder how much your external influences like... how much do you think at your level, at the enterprise level, where a lot of your guys are, and I know we talked about this a minute ago, how much of the election, the uncertainty of who's going to be president, how much do you think that's playing in their planning, in their decision making?
You know, Jim, it's hard to say, because if you ask people that are mainly business people, you know, there's this traditional, a lot of business people seem to be more Republican-oriented as opposed to Democrat, and they have this emotional sort of reaction that if a Democrat is in, it's going to be less good for business. But, in fact, it's hard when it comes down to it to make that actual distinction in practice. And so my own judgment about that is that if the election goes one way or the other, there's uncertainty about it, which may make a number of people delay in making some decisions.
Right.
But the fact is, it's not clear how different it would be if the Democrats would be in versus the Republicans.
Well, notice I didn't say which candidate. I just meant the uncertainty. And of course, I do think that's making some folks to kind of wait and see, so to speak. Sam, we got to wrap it up. Thank you for being here. Good job today.
Well, I enjoyed being with you, Jim, and we look forward to doing this again after the next month's survey.
We'll do it again in October. Thanks again, Sam. See you next time.
Right.
Sam Norwood, ladies and gentlemen, with Tatum Partner. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.